first time. For the first time all season long, and it's not going to be the last time. Broncos have a better record than the Chiefs right now, baby. And that's what matters. That's what matters. Well, welcome to the first week of this Uncommon Community Series. As we launch into this series, I want to do something kind of fun. I want to get a little bit of your participation. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play some theme songs from some TV sitcoms, really popular ones over the last 40 years or so. As soon as you recognize what the sitcom is, yell it out as loud as you can. I want to see how fast all of us can get all of these. They should be, most of them should be fairly easy. So here's the first one. The Office. The Office. I mean, classic. Who doesn't love The Office? Now, this next one will be extraordinarily easy, I can promise you. Here we go. That's right, Friends. And you know, you're sitting on the couch. All of us did the at that. Yeah, exactly. This next one, younger people, you may not get. Older people, we will get this immediately. So here it is. Seinfeld. Good job. Young people, if you've never watched it, you need to. It takes about a season. Give it a season. It's a show about nothing. It's a show about nothing, but it is absolutely fantastic. Now, older people, you probably won't get this one, but younger people, you'll get this one immediately. So here it is. New Girl. There it is. My daughter's right here. I'm like, I've never even watched a whole episode of this. I've seen bits and pieces because you watch it all the time. All right, this last one, younger people probably will not get it all. Older people, you'll immediately it'll make good feelings inside of you. Here it is. Oh, Cheers. Making the way in the world today. You just want to sing it, don't you? Now, other than being funny, I mean, what do all of these shows have in common? Like, why are they so popular? Why are so many of us drawn to them? And I believe the reason that these shows that we just heard are so timeless, I believe that the reason we keep watching reruns of them is because all of them have something in common. All of them include something that we all long for and that it makes our hearts say yes. And that one thing is community. The sense of belonging and care and companionship, of doing life with the group of people that we know and love and who we're known and loved by. Now, here's what's true about all of us. We all need, we all desire, and we all crave community. It's the reason that people join gangs, people join clubs, people join fraternities. It's why people go to the same bar every weekend. It's why people, you know, join CrossFit gyms and do that stupid workout, you know, multiple times a week. It's why, you know, so many of us binge watch shows like Friends and The Office. Everyone is searching. And I believe the reason we long for it is because God created us for community. The intrinsic pull that we all feel for community is really, it's God's fingerprint on us. We were created for it, we desire it, and we need it. So we search for it, hoping to one day find it. But unfortunately for many of us, it's uncommon. It's uncommon to ever find and experience the type of community that God created us for. And the outcomes of that, well, they're devastating. It's devastating for your mental health, your emotional health, your relational health, your spiritual health. It's devastating in your relationship with Jesus. It's devastating in you being more transformed to everything God's created you to be. Because, according to the writers of Scripture, transformation doesn't happen in isolation. The transforming work that God wants to do both in you and through you requires community. That's just the way that God designed it. You were created for community, and you need community because transformation doesn't happen in isolation. Now, here's what you need to know. The type of community that you need, you desire, and you crave, it isn't simply found. It's intentionally formed. And Jesus created his church for us to intentionally form it within. Jesus created his church to be an uncommon community, for his followers to experience the type of true, deep, authentic community that we long for, that we desire, and that we need. Now, for some of you, I realize that sounds so strange because to you, church is a building. The church is a Sunday morning event. But as we talked about during this last series that we just got done a few weeks ago, that's not what the church is at all. The Greek, and Greek was the original language that the New Testament was written in, the Greek word that's translated church in our English New Testament is the word ekklesia, which literally means a community of people united by an identity and a purpose. The church is not a building to go to. It's not an event to attend. It's an ekklesia, a community of people. Now, for others of you, you don't believe this is what Jesus created his church to be because of your church experience. You've been going to church for years, hoping to find community, but it's never happened. You've desired it, you've just never experienced it. So over time, for you, also, churches become a building or an event or a service to attend, not a people to belong to. You believe in Jesus, you put your faith in Jesus, but it's just become an individual thing, not a community thing. But you still long for community, hoping to find it one day, but no longer expecting it to find it within the church. So intentionally trying to form it, well, that's out the window. From the very beginning, Jesus created his church to be an uncommon community, a community of people that's following him together, that's being transformed to everything God's created us to be together, that's glorifying him together, that's impacting the world for Jesus together, an uncommon community that Jesus' followers to experience healthy, transformational, God-glorifying community, the type of true, deep, authentic community that we all long for, that we desire, and that we need. And the first church... Well, the first church experienced that in spades. The story of the first church is recorded in the New Testament book of Acts. Acts 1 begins about 40 days or so after Jesus rose from the grave when he gathered his small ecclesia, his small church of about only 120 followers together. That's all there was. He gathered them together one final time to give them and us one final promise and one final charge. And his promise was that he was going to send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to take residence within us, to fill us with his presence and his power. And his charge was that together we were to carry on his mission of transforming the world for him until he physically returns. Well, then, after Jesus gave this final promise and this final charge, he physically ascended into heaven. And then a few days later, during the Jewish holiday of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit showed up and filled them in such a powerful and unexpected way that everyone in Jerusalem took notice. Well, immediately, newly filled Peter, who was one of Jesus' 12 apostles, who was one of Jesus' close friends, Peter hit the streets preaching the resurrection of Jesus in a four-part message. You killed him, God raised him, we've seen him. Now say you're sorry. And here's exactly how he said it. He said, Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Now, what happened next can only be attributed to God moving powerfully. Verse 41, those who accepted his, Peter's message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I mean, these people are like, hey, based on what we've seen and based on what we've heard, we can only come to one conclusion, and that is that Jesus must be alive. And if he is, he must be the Messiah. He must be the Savior. He must be the anointed one of God, because we saw him die. And 3,000 people at one moment, in one day, put their faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. And the first church grew from about 120 people to 3,000 in one day. Now, in the next six verses, Luke, who wrote Acts, described how the first church began to intentionally live from that point forward. Verse 42, they, by the way, that they is plural, implication being all 3,000 of them, they devoted themselves, not some of them, not most of them, all 3,000 of them, they all devoted themselves. They all had steadfast single-mindedness. They all were relentlessly committed to the apostles' teaching, and the apostles were Jesus' team who followed him around for 3 years and saw everything he did and heard everything he said, and to the fellowship, to community with one another, to sharing their hearts, possessions, time, food, burdens, everything with one another, to the breaking of bread, to being with one another, to living life together, to sharing sacred meals together that reminded them of Jesus' death and resurrection, and to prayer with one another, for one another, over one another. Everyone, how many? Everyone, all 3,000 of them, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They were filled with awe at the amazing miracles being done in their lives, miracles that served as signs of the Holy Spirit's power and presence. All the believers, how many? All 3,000 of them who had put their faith in Jesus, the entire ecclesia, the entire church in Jerusalem, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They were of one heart and mind. They were all unified. They all shared everything. They all experienced belonging and care and community. They, once again, that's plural, implication being all 3,000 of them, they all sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They all intentionally sacrificed and cared for and were generous with one another. Every day, how many days? Every single one of them, every day, they all 3,000, continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, they're Jewish followers of Christ. They're Jewish people who put their faith in Jesus. And as Jewish followers of Christ, the Jewish temple courts became the place where they all gathered together to listen to the apostles preach and to praise God together. And they gathered together every day. Furthermore, they, all 3,000, broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people living in Jerusalem, all the people who didn't believe what they believed, but who were drawn to them as they peered into how they lived and what they did together. And as a result, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, those who were putting their faith in Jesus. They all together were experiencing the transforming power and presence of God, and a watching world took notice. People weren't just hearing the message of Jesus, they were seeing the power and presence and love of Jesus lived out in the first church. The community of the first church was so uncommon, so countercultural, so spirit-empowered, so transformational that a watching world couldn't resist. And as a result, hundreds of people every day started putting their faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. And they became part of Jesus' church, part of his ecclesia, part of this uncommon community because they saw something they desired, they longed for, they needed, they wanted. And that's what we want too. This is the type of community we long for, we desire, and we need. That's the type of community God created us to experience and that Jesus created his church for. That's what we want our church experience to be. That's the type of church we all want to find, but for many of us, we have not. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that we can experience it. In Acts 2, the first church was literally the same size that Relevant Community Church is right now, about 3,000 people. And all 3,000 of them experienced the type of community that we desire, and that means we can too. But, this is very important, this type of uncommon community isn't simply found. It's intentionally formed. The first church intentionally formed it. And the first three words that Luke opened up with tell us how. They devoted themselves. Now, from those three words forward, Luke was not giving a bullet point list of just activities they did. Luke was describing how the first church lived. And he repeated himself a few times. He said the same things in a few different ways. But the one thing that he made very clear was that they were intentionally and sacrificially committed to gather together and then scatter together. They devoted themselves to gather together every day in the temple courts to praise God and to listen to the apostles teach about how to follow Jesus. And then they devoted themselves to scatter in smaller communities to practically live out being the church with one another. 3,000 of them could all gather together. But 3,000 of them could not connect in true community with one another. So they were committed to all gather together, and then they committed to scatter together in smaller communities within a larger community, in homes throughout Jerusalem to grow in a relationship with Jesus together, to connect in community with one another, and to impact people for Jesus together. And I believe the reason they experienced the type of true, deep, authentic community that we long for and desire and need, I believe the reason that God worked miraculously in them and through them, I believe the reason they experienced Jesus' transforming power and presence, I believe the reason their hearts were filled with joy, I believe the reason that people were putting their faith in Jesus like they did through them. I believe the reason that God turned the world upside down through them is because they all were committed to this. They all devoted themselves. And I believe the same is true for us. At Relevant, we're not trying to create something new. We're trying to reclaim something ancient. We're trying to reclaim what Jesus created his church for. We're trying to reclaim the mission that Jesus called his church to. We're trying to reclaim what Jesus created his church to experience and what the first church in Acts experienced. That's why our strategy is to gather together and then scatter together. For our entire church community, all 3,000 of us, to gather together. Not even every day, but just one day a week on Sundays to worship God together and hear practical biblical teaching that inspires and empowers us to take next steps to follow Jesus, and then scatter together in smaller communities, in small groups of 8 to 20 people who are pursuing following Jesus together. For middle school students, we call these rooted small groups. For high school students, we call them Youth United small groups. For college students and adults, we call them T-Life groups. T-Life stands for Transform Life, and we call them that to remind us what we're all about here at Relevant, and that is transformation. Now, for the rest of this sermon, whenever I say the phrase small group, I'm referring to all three of these: rooted small groups, YU small groups, and T-Life groups. My desire, our desire, is that all of us, every single person who's a part of Relevant, is connected in a small group. Everything we do at Relevant is to move people into small groups because we believe circles are better than rows. We believe these are the best environments for the type of community that we long for and desire and need to form and to flourish. We believe transformation doesn't happen in isolation. So if you're a student, a middle school student, a high school student, and you're not part of a rooted small group or a Youth United small group, don't wait any longer. Connect. And all you got to do to connect is just middle school students show up on Sunday afternoons at Rooted, high school students show up on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock to Youth United, because that's when our small groups all meet together. Now, if you're a college student or an adult and you're not part of a T-Life group, this is your moment. This is your moment because T-Life group signups are open right now through next Sunday on our app, on our website, at the Next Step area. Don't miss the opportunity to be part of intentionally forming the kind of community God created you to experience. The kind he wants to transform you more into everything he's created you to be through. The kind he wants to use you to transform other people through. Now, let me be very, very clear on something. Our vision is not for every person who's a part of Relevant just to be in a small group. Our vision is for every Relevant small group to be a healthy and transformational smaller community of people within the Relevant community that is growing in a relationship with Jesus together, connecting in community with one another, and impacting people for Jesus together. And we've identified 6 indicators of a healthy and transformational small group that is truly connecting in community. that is intentionally forming and experiencing the type of true, deep, authentic, God-glorifying community that we all long for and desire and need. So throughout the rest of the series, we're gonna dig into each of these six indicators. Now, I've asked all of our T-Life group leaders to focus on this during their small group time when they meet as a T-Life group over the next 6 weeks. And I've asked all of our T-Life group leaders to do that because the type of community that you need and you desire and you crave isn't simply found. It's intentionally formed, and it won't be formed by some of us. It can only be formed if all of us are devoted to it. So, whether you're currently in a small group, considering joining one, used to be in one and reluctant to engage again because of what you experienced, as we look and we talk about each of these six indicators, I want to challenge you to honestly answer a very important question. And the question is, are you intentionally helping to form a healthy and transformational community? Are you intentionally helping to form the type of community that you desire and that you need? Have you been intentional about it? Are you currently being intentional about it? If the answer is yes, keep doing it, because it's going to take all of us. If your answer is no, I just want to encourage you and challenge you to take the next steps that I'm going to be challenging you to take each week of this series. If we all do, what's uncommon for most people will become common for us. And not only will that transform your life, it will transform our entire church. And as we saw in Acts 2, it has the power to transform a watching world. The first indicator of a healthy and transformational smaller community of people that is truly connecting in community is commitment. The people in the small group are committed to one another and to the group as a whole. We saw this with the first church in Acts 2. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to living life together, to praying together, to staying united, to sharing everything, to caring for one another, to generously providing for one another, to being together. Bottom line, they were relentlessly committed to their smaller community within the larger church community. And because of that, they experienced uncommon community. Here's the big idea. The path to experiencing uncommon community is paved with commitment. When we commit ourselves to someone or something, we pledge ourselves, we dedicate ourselves fully to, we promise ourselves to, we engage completely with, we sacrifice for. And when it comes to connecting in true community, commitment matters. Commitment matters because without commitment, people drift. Groups stay shallow, trust never forms, vulnerability never develops, and transformation never happens. Commitment matters because you can't experience any healthy relationship without commitment, because love is committed. Commitment matters because commitment is how desired results are achieved. Commitment matters because commitment proves our intent. Commitment matters because commitment shows determination. Commitment matters because what we commit to has our hearts, directs our footsteps, declares our priorities, impacts how we think, how we feel, how we act, and how we react. Commitment matters because commitment, it produces trust, it deepens belonging, it increases vulnerability, and it multiplies growth. Commitment matters because commitment facilitates transformation. Commitment matters because you can't build true community without true commitment. Commitment matters because you can't microwave healthy and transformational community. And we live in a microwave culture, so this is a big problem for us. It takes an enormous amount of time, for a long period of time, for the type of community that we long for and desire and need to form and flourish. Therefore, we must be and stay committed. Being committed to showing up when we don't feel like it, being committed to forgiving others when they hurt our feelings, being committed to not giving up on them, being committed to not quitting, being committed to staying available and intentional, being committed to love sacrificially even when they don't deserve it, and especially when they don't deserve it. Being committed to to care for the people in the smaller community and allowing them to care for you. Being committed to helping people in the smaller community take next steps to follow Jesus and allowing them to help you by teaching one another, challenging one another, inspiring one another, empowering one another, equipping one another, confronting one another, giving accountability to one another, correcting one another, and walking in the fullness of grace and truth with one another. Commitment matters because the path to experiencing uncommon community is paved with commitment. But the reality is, many people, many of us, are not very good at commitment. And all you have to do is look at the divorce rate to see that. We're not good at being committed to a church body. When we don't like something, when we don't agree with something, when we think we know better, when things aren't going good, when we're not experiencing what we want, we're quick to jump ship and go find another church. And when it comes to smaller communities within the larger church community, we're definitely not good at being committed. When our feelings get hurt, when it's inconvenient, when we disagree with someone, when someone disagrees with us, when people aren't meeting our expectations, when the discussion isn't deep enough for us, we quickly disengage from the small group. And we wonder why we're not experiencing the type of community that we desire and long for and need. We're quick to blame everyone else for why we're not. But the reality is, the path to experiencing uncommon community is paved with commitment from them and from you. One of my closest mentors in life is a guy named Joe, and Joe's in his 80s now. And for most of Joe's life, he lived in St. Louis, Missouri. And as he got older and toward retirement age, he got a house in Palm Springs as well. And so Joe would spend, you know, some time in St. Louis and then Palm Springs, and St. Louis and Palm Springs, and started spending more time in Palm Springs, a little less time in St. Louis. And I remember one time I was talking to Joe, and I'm like, now, remember, we're Midwest people, and I'm like, you should get out of here. I'm like, Joe, Palm Springs, better weather. Everything's nicer out there. You can golf whenever you want. Like, why do you keep this house in St. Louis? Like, why do you keep going back? It seems very expensive, very time-consuming. And he said something that I will never forget. I mean, I'm talking to him, like, just move out to Palm Springs full-time. And this changed my life, this one statement. He didn't know it when he said it. He said, yeah, I can't do that. And I was like, why? He goes, it took a lifetime for me to build the community that I have in St. Louis. And I don't have that long a runway left. Changed my life. There's a lot we can learn from that when it comes to experiencing the type of true, deep, authentic community that we long for and desire and need. It does not happen overnight. It's not by accident. It happens through commitment. Long-term, steady, costly commitment. The path to experiencing uncommon community is paved with commitment. You need and you crave community because God created you for it. So, for those of you who are part of the Relevant Church community, who say that Relevant is your church, but who are not part of a smaller community within our church body, I want to encourage you again, connect into a small group. Middle school students, a rooted small group, high school students, a Youth United small group, college students and adults, a T-Life group. Listen, don't wait for the perfect fit. The perfect fit does not exist. Community isn't found. Community is formed. Community follows commitment, not the other way around. For those of you who are connected in a small group, my challenge to you is to commit to one another and to the group as a whole. Don't just be in a group, be committed to them. Commit to be present physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally. You can't be fully known or loved, and you can't fully know or love others if you're half present. Commit to consistency. Be committed to consistently show up when your small group meets, when you feel like it, and when you don't, when it's convenient and when it's not, when you're tired, when you're busy, because community dies when people don't show up, but it thrives when people consistently do. Christy and I lead a college-age T-Life group. We love that age, and we like to feel young, evidently. So we lead a college-age T-Life group. And over the years, we've led this for many years. Over the years, there's times when, you know, just like every T-Life group and every small group, when some of these young guns, they're just not very committed to show up. And I confront them. And I'm like, dude, where have you been? Why are you not showing up? And I get the same answer all the time. I'm tired. Or I'm busy. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about that real quick. You're over half of my age younger than me. You think you're more tired than I am? I show up every week. Oh, and you're busy? Oh, I'm sorry. I lead an entire organization and an entire church. You play video games. You think you're more busy than I am? I show up every single week. Now, what happens is, you know, we have a lot of grace with one another, but what happens is when someone just consistently doesn't show up over a long period of time, we end up taking them out of our group. We tell them, hey, we're not going to have you in our group anymore. We want you here, and we would love to have you back, and when you're ready to be committed, you can come back, but we're not going to have you being here right now. Not because we don't want them there, we do. The reason we're not having them be there is because them not consistently showing up is hurting the community that we are trying extraordinarily hard to build. Listen, you know what I'm saying? Listen, you don't drift into community. You create it through consistent presence. Commit to intentionality. To intentionally pursue one another, to intentionally be in one another's lives, to eat together, hang out together, have coffee together, pray with one another, share your lives with each other, check in on each other. Community is created through intentional pursuit. Commit to vulnerability, to not just sharing surface, easy stuff, but the real, honest, hard, messy stuff. The level of transformation in your small group will never rise above your or in anyone else or ever and everyone else's level of vulnerability. Commit for the long haul. Don't bail, don't quit, don't leave, don't disengage. When your feelings get hurt, when you disagree, when someone disagrees with you, when people aren't meeting your expectations, when you feel like it's not deep enough for you, when it feels awkward, all those things are going to happen. Remember, you can't microwave healthy and transformational community. And finally, commit to the other five indicators of a healthy and transformational small group that is truly connecting in community. And what are those other five? They are to be continued next week. You got to come back next week as we start hitting it. But here's how I want to wrap up week one. I want to wrap it up with the question. Here's my question. What next step of commitment can you take to help create uncommon community? Whatever the next step is for you, take it. Take it because the type of true, deep, authentic community that you long for and desire and need isn't simply found. It's intentionally formed. Take it because transformation doesn't happen in isolation. Take it because Jesus created his church to be an uncommon community. Take it because the path to experiencing uncommon community is paved with commitment. The first church in Acts experienced what they did because of one word. And that word is all. They all were devoted. They all were committed. People talk about, oh, we would love to experience having an Acts 2 church. They all were devoted. They all were committed. And because they all were, God moved in powerful, transformational ways. And the same is true for us. You guys, if it took all of them, you can guarantee it will take all of us as well. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for creating this thing that you call the church, this ecclesia that we all get to be a part of. I thank you for our small local church. Lord, and we want to see you move powerfully in and through our church. And Lord, I thank you that you put it on our hearts to experience true community. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever next steps you would have us take during this series to either engage or to take a next step or to pursue, what that means and what that looks like in a smaller community within our church body, I pray that we all take those steps. We take it for your glory. We take it for our transformation. We take it for the health of our church. But Lord, we take it because we all want to experience this. And it's so elusive and it's so uncommon because it requires so much of us. And so Lord, I pray whatever next steps you put on our heart, pray that we take them. We don't let this just go by the wayside. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.